these two books really lay out that this is an open conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy that was hidden, that we had to be quiet about. And, you know, the normie mainline debunkers that are out there and the blue check mark, the academics, they don't read these books. They don't know this stuff, right? They, in their ignorance, just laugh at this as if it's some fringe thing. Yet, if anybody was to study, again, at an international relations program at a high degree level, they would be introduced to these ideas and these texts, especially something like Tragedy and Hope, right? So they don't even know that they're making fun of the very things that their establishment has put out. That's how ignorant these people are. But H.G. Wells, of course, was a famous Freemason, famous pioneer of techniques of propaganda. He was the Edward Bernays before Edward Bernays, and literally writes books called The New World Order and says we're going to put into place an international Masonic socialist dictatorship that brings about a scientism-based technocracy. And then in The Open Conspiracy, he says that we will use both Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, and capitalism to achieve this end, because those are just systems that get us to the end goal. Who cares what the system itself? We're not idealists. We're pragmatists, he says. But the pragmatic goal is the new world order, is the one world socialist, technocratic, universal basic income dictatorship around technology. That's what he says. That's what these two books are about, 100%. Clear as day, no question about it. He says everybody has to die, everybody has to be tracked and traced, no private property, no family, can't have families anymore. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. You know, one of the top questions I get is, what are the top books that actually explain all this? Could you do a top 10 books of the elite? And maybe if I don't have time to read all those, could you summarize those top 10 books where the elite tell us everything? They lay out all the plans. And yes, I've done that for you. I'm going to give you the top 10 books from the elite, no conspiracy theories, just the writings of the elite from about the last 100 or maybe even a few thousand years ago that tell us exactly how they structure and control the masses and want to create this synthetic reality known as the New World Order and the transhumanist metaverse, the matrix that they want to bring in. The first book I would say you need to be familiar with to understand the elite perspective. If you want to get that real master's degree level education that the elite have, and a lot of these books are actually books that they use in international relations programs for people getting their master's or their PhD or whatever. I would say the first that we have to understand is the infamous Plato's Republic. Now, Plato was a brilliant philosopher. He was working within a tradition of Greek philosophy that pulled from what he called the Egyptian mysteries. If you read the Timaeus, there's a famous dialogue of Plato's origin of the universe. In that dialogue, Plato talks about how the secrets and the mysteries of Egypt, including how to rule mankind, would be passed down in his writings. And so other books like The Republic are a way to kind of classify and structure and order reality in a mathematical way. Plato had a quasi-mystical divine view of mathematics, much like Pythagoras, such that he thought that that was the secret to really organizing all of reality. And the Greeks pioneered this idea of techne, right? Which would eventually give us technology, the idea that we could just use machines and technological quantification, numbers, to structure and order all of reality. So technocracy is something that the Greeks, and particularly Plato, were, you could say, proto-pioneers of. And so the Republic is Plato's pyramidal structure society, where at the top you have the philosopher king elite, who structure the underclass below them, who are known as the guardians, who have a completely communist style of life. Everything in the middle tier of the pyramid, the guardian class, who are the warriors, the soldiers, they share wives, they share children. It's a equalitarian feminist society where women do the exact same things as men. And then you have the underclass, the working, the proles right underneath them. So it's a strict pyramidal three-tiered structure society. And even though Plato, pioneered other ideas like eugenics, he didn't have the full-on capacity for, AI and machine technology and all that we know that today's technocratic elites want to put into place. But the seminal ideas for the technocracy are all there in Plato's Republic. In fact, all of the communist dictatorships also drew heavily from Plato's ideal republic, the notion that you could force into reality an ideal government that would bypass human flaws and limitations, human emotions. These kinds of things could be bypassed by running society in a purely rational way. But of course, humans aren't purely rational automatons. We're not robots. We're not all Spurg 5000s. We're not all Mark Zuckerberg in the metaverse. I want to make you into a coom pod slug laying there for all of your life. It's going to be great. Right? We're not all like that. Some of us have free will, even though Noah Yuval Harari says no such thing as free will, even though Bertrand Russell says, but of course, we must stamp out free will. Right? Free will must be stamped out, but it doesn't exist. Right? Again, contradiction. And I have to remind you, too, a little side note. If you heard Alex in the first hour covering Sam Harris, if you search my channel on YouTube, you'll notice I've done about 5-6 deconstructions of Sam Harris's worldview, his pseudo-philosophy. And he passes himself off as this, intellectual dark web philosopher. He's actually a pseud, as we say in internet terminology. A pseud is a pseudo-intellectual who passes himself off as someone with this great learning, a philosopher, an intellectual, but really he isn't even past some of the basic issues in philosophy. Other philosophers in debates famously have called out Sam Harris for really fundamental mistakes like the is-ought problem. That's something that multiple philosophers in debates have kind of made a goofus out of Sam Harris when he tries to explain this. And it's, the clips are pretty laughable. And if you go to my channel, you'll see me deconstructing all of those Sam Harris clips from years ago where he fumbles and bumbles around this really basic level question and kind of makes an idiot of it himself. But really what we see today is something that I posited for a long time with Harris and other new so-called new atheists in these figures that were more popular about 10 years ago, is that these figures really are just organs of the establishment. They're not actually intellectual rebels that are edgy and challenging the system. They just say one or two things here and there that are kind of edgy, and then everything else is just following the establishment dribble 100%. And I think everybody's kind of catching on to that. Now, I was saying this, 10, 15 years ago, critiquing Sam Harris and the new atheist, but people are beginning to catch on to this, that their pseudo-intellectual positions have really been deconstructed by serious philosophers for a long time. And in many, many debates, which are, accessible on YouTube, people are starting to see, actually, these people are not really intellectuals. They're kind of ridiculous. And they get called out all the time. But the establishment props up these people, the dark web intellectuals, when they're not really that sophisticated. But Plato's Republic is another example, again, of this seminal idea of technocracy that would influence, as we said, even communist dictatorships, right? Pulling from this idea of a perfectly ideal utopian type of system. Now, Plato himself wasn't really a utopian. He didn't think that this perfect system would ever be fully instantiated, but he thought it was what we should shoot for. But today's technocrats really believe that when they get rid of most human beings, 80, 90, 95%, whatever it is, that then it will be possible because we can get rid of a pass the human weaknesses through the technocracy. So that's the secret that they think they've discovered that will bypass the human weaknesses, which prevented the perfect republic in the past. But of course, again, it's all based on the notion that human beings are just meat sacks, programmable meat sack computers, and not beings endowed with personhood and free will. What's another of these top 10? Let's move on to the next one. Well, in line with a lot of these texts would be the figure of H.G. Wells. And I'm not going to go too far into this because you guys know we've covered this. I lectured through in the fourth hour. You can go find all those at band.video if you search my name. H.G. Wells' two books, New World Order and The Open Conspiracy. And I'm putting this as number two because it's just the clearest, most lucid. I'm classing these two together as one book because they're really similar. These two books really lay out that this is an open conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy that was hidden, that we had to be quiet about. And, the normie mainline debunkers that are out there and the blue check mark, the academics, they don't read these books. They don't know this stuff, right? They, in their ignorance, just laugh at this as if it's some fringe thing. Yet, if anybody was to study, again, at an international relations program at a high degree level, they would be introduced to these ideas in these texts, especially something like Tragedy and Hope, right? So they don't even know that they're making fun of the very things that their establishment has put out. That's how ignorant these people are. But H.G. Wells, of course, was a famous Freemason, famous pioneer of techniques of propaganda. He was the Edward Bernays before Edward Bernays, and literally writes books called The New World Order and says we're going to put into place an international Masonic socialist dictatorship that brings about a scientism-based technocracy. And then in The Open Conspiracy, he says that we will use both Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, and capitalism to achieve this end, because those are just systems that get us to the end goal. Who cares what the system itself? We're not idealists. We're pragmatists, he says. But the pragmatic goal is the new world order, is the one world socialist, technocratic, universal basic income dictatorship around technology. That's what he says. That's what these two books are about, 100%. Clear as day, no question about it. He says everybody has to die. Everybody has to be tracked and traced. No private property, no family. Can't have families anymore.
DNA Force Plus, after almost a year of being out of stock, is now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. PQQ and CoQ10 are on record as making the telomeres in your DNA last longer. This is as close as the fountain of youth as you're going to get. And on top of that, this great product funds the InfoWar, which defends liberty and freedom and your Second Amendment and your First Amendment and so much more at a critical time. So it is a true 360 win-win situation when you go to InfoWarsStore.com and get DNA Force Plus, finally, our flagship product, back in stock. It keeps us on the air, and it's going to sell out quick. But despite that, we're offering it for 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com to support our longtime viewers and listeners and for new folks to take advantage of it.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We were just discussing a couple of the key texts from H.G. Wells, who was sort of part of that left liberal Fabian socialist side of the Royal Society, which was not really interested in the people and the people's rights, but was actually working towards this end goal of a mass depopulation agenda and the implementation eventually of a one world technocratic order. The next one that I would say is a key text that we have to know about is the, again, in the same circles of people like H.G. Wells, the brother of Aldous Huxley was Julian Huxley. Julian Huxley wrote The Philosophy of UNESCO. And this is a small text. It's a little sort of manifesto about the UN's cultural and educational arm of propaganda. And in that text, he says that democracy is something that is kind of a joke and is dead, and we need to stop propping this up. It's time to move past these ideas and to, along with Plato, continue the tradition of eugenics. Eugenics is, of course, basically just means racial hygiene. And the way that modern technocrats, socialists, fascists, et cetera, adopted this system, including capitalists too, bankers, corporatists, is that it's no longer about a pure race or creating some Teutonic knighthood or something like that. It's more so now allied with the notion of transhumanism. And in fact, it's Julian Huxley himself who coined the term transhumanism. And so what he says in this text, this philosophy of UNESCO, is that evolution has led us to the necessity of mass depopulation. That's just 100% what we have to do. It's part of the natural order that we have to kill off different breeds and different species. So the argument runs, if you know about the British elite, they were big fans of, well, all the nobility, really, of breeding science, the Galtons, the Darwins, the Huxleys, et cetera. Their families were really into the science of breeding. And so they would apply these principles of the animal order to the human order. And they said, well, look, clearly we have to have this perfectly bred human species, and we'll do this by XYZ scientific experimentation. Now, eventually that became unpopular with Hitler's form of it, but the establishment never rejected this principle of breeding and mutating the human species into what they had as a final goal, an end goal, the Übermensch goal. And that has only been continued through the programs that the American deep state inherited from these people. It's no different plan. And the plan itself is not inherently bad to think about improving human life or extending human life. Nothing wrong with any of that. That's not what these goals are for. They're not humanitarian goals. They're goals on the part of the elite to have those powers and then to get rid of everyone else because they're social Darwinists. Don't you understand? They're not interested in helping you. Okay, the people who say they want to kill you, newsflash, don't want to help you. They want to get rid of you. But they want to use you as a lab experiment, as a test tube to figure out what works so that those technologies of life extension and they believe immortality can be used for them and their descendants. That's the goal here. And this book talks about this. It talks about how eugenics kind of got unpopular, controlled. There's nothing wrong with those things, though, because it's just part of the natural evolutionary process. When you look at nature, you see predators and prey. So what's wrong with the economic predators, the economic elite, preying on everyone else and getting rid of them? It's no more wrong than a lion eating a gazelle, which isn't wrong. It's just what happens, right? That's their worldview. That's the worldview of Sam Harris. Sam Harris does debates where he says, I can't believe that a God could exist where at the same time there's a child crying who dies in his mother's arms in childbirth. How could a moral God allow this to exist? But then he turns around and says, Trump is immoral for having a university that teaches real estate. But so the guy who says there's no morals, right? Well, he thinks there's morals. But of course, when he's questioned about this, he says, you can't, I don't know how we get morals from the fact that things just are, but they just are wrong. It's wrong because it's wrong. Well, that's a circular argument. We need a basis, a justification for why it's wrong. And most people today don't believe in objective morality. Now, Harris wants to try to have a secular foundation for objective morals, but that project always fails. If we're just meat sacks, it doesn't matter what we do. There's nothing right or wrong. If we're all just meat sacks, Sam Harris, then there's nothing wrong with economic fraudery and scandal, right? There's nothing wrong with Trump University doing whatever it did. And I'm not saying it did anything wrong. I'm just saying if it did do something wrong, there's nothing wrong with it, right? On his basis, if Jeffrey Epstein did something immoral, which I think we all know he did, there's nothing actually wrong with it. Right. The most that an atheist or a materialist could say is that it's just not what they like. It's not my taste. Right. To, pimp out young girls or whatever. That's not according to my taste. But that's not the same thing as saying it's objectively wrong. Right. So there's no normativity. There's no ability to get an ought, what you ought to do or ought not to do, from the fact that the atheist universe, the materialist universe just is. It's just matter in motion. You can never get right or wrong from matter in motion. It's a very simple argument. And actually, he's been questioned on this many times, and he always flounders and fumbles around. In fact, the last time he was on with Jordan Peterson, he did the exact same thing. Jordan Peterson started bringing these issues up about how you can't get an ought from an is, and Sam Harris just sort of flumbles around in a circle and says, well, maybe we can somehow one day. One day, science or something will give us this. But back to Julian Huxley, he says, again, writing the official philosophy of the United Nations, is that the goal here is that nation states have to go away. So you have to understand that they want to get rid of nation states. They want to get rid of all of them, not just America, not just Russia, all of them, because it's an internationalist plan. He says, actually, that building Babel is a great idea. We want the Babel that was in the Bible rebuilt. I'm not joking. He actually says, build Babel. And he says things like the World Health Organization, these will be the organs and the fronts for depopulation and eugenics. Now that eugenics has a bad name, a bad image, we'll just rebrand. It's all just rebranded. Don't you understand it's rebranded? Don't you understand that everybody who goes into high-level government organizations, they are initiated into the Kissinger depopulation type of plan? State Department Memorandum 200, right? All of those memorandums that were the U.S. acceptance of dysgenics and depopulation. The Malthusian ethos has never gone away. It's just been rebranded. And all of the tech elite, they all believe it. And they all write papers on it. The next thing I'm going to go to is Bill Joy's essay on it, which Alex has talked about for 20 years, ever since it came out. I heard about this from Alex back in 2003. But he goes on to say that, eugenics measures are necessary, but we're going to have to use psyops to trick people because nobody's going to accept it because of the bad image that Hitler gave to it. This is what he says in the book. I mean, this is a 50 to 60 page book that would tell you the whole modus operandi of the UN is this. Don't you understand it? This is not up for debate. And anybody who goes into the system knows this. And the people who go into the system and then get questioned on it, they lie and say that it doesn't exist. Can't you tell when people are lying to you, when they're gaslighting you? The system, the establishment gaslights you every day because they say that this doesn't exist. Conspiracists, which isn't even a word. right? I mean, conspiracists, it's not a word. Summit of Worldly Wisdom is what I called this when I looked at the fact that Bill Joy, this tech elite guy back in 2000, he talks about all the years that he read through all the different religions and all the different philosophies and everything. And why was he doing this? Why was Bill Joy, according to his essay, on this quest to read all the Buddhist texts, the Muslim texts, the Islamic, the Christian texts, so forth, all these different religious texts? Because he said, if we don't find an ethic to govern our technocratic order, it will be the death of the human species. Why the future doesn't need us. And did you hear Noah Yuval Harari the other day talking about why the future doesn't need us? That's what he said. I mean, I don't know if he was referencing this essay, but that's what this essay is about, right? That technology will replace humanity. We're entering into the post-human world. And at the beginning of this essay, he talks about meeting with Ray Kurzweil and another philosopher, John Searle, famous philosopher, and how they were at one of these preeminent global elite meetings, a telecom conference, a big tech conference. And they were having this discussion, and Kurzweil said that transhumanism is so certain that humans are done. There won't be humans anymore in the coming future, in the next 10, 15, 50, 100 years. We'll be something else. And then the discussion turned to how the elite discussed whether to just kill everybody or give them video games and trinkets to be happy and living in their coon pods. And the decision was made to get rid of everybody. So here you have it, clear as day. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. I want to remind you guys, too, that it's crucial right now to support InfoWars. So head on over to the InfoWars store and get all those products that you absolutely need. This is the best way to support this this flagship enterprise, which is at the tip of the spear, which is taking on the global elite, Klaus, Bill Gates, all these creepy characters. Literally fear a homemade organic operation that Alex started so many years ago that has grown into this amazing tool for waking up so many people. And, you know, we don't need InfoWars to go away. We need it to be there. We need it to get bigger than it is. So go ahead and get over to the store right now and buy those products that I highly recommend. I've actually bought many of these products over the years from InfoWars, and still loving the Coral Calcium toothpaste. I bought many, many books and DVDs over the years from Alex. And I would say all of those have been beneficial for me. And I want to remind you guys, too, that if you're in the Orlando area, September 3rd, we'll having another live event where you can come see me. My wife, Jamie, will be doing an evening discussion. We'll be having debates. We'll be having discussions on geopolitics, the writings of the elite, philosophy, theology. All those things will be coming up at my Orlando event. That's September 3rd. You can go to my social media accounts at YouTube, Twitter, wherever, my website, and you'll see the links to this event, September 3rd from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. And an evening with me, there'll be some other guest scholars speaking as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We had over 120, 125 people show up last month to the Nashville event, and that was a blast. Everybody had a great time. So I want to encourage you to come out. There's only a limited number of 100 tickets. September 3rd in Orlando, the address and all that is available at the social media. If you go to the top of my Twitter or wherever, you'll see that linked. Also, my new book is out if you want to get into philosophy, if you're interested in a lot of the topics that you hear me covering. I've got actually two new books. One of them was an accidental book, but the main new book is the book on philosophy and symbolism. Yeah, that's how you get the Orlando tickets there. Philosophy and symbolism. And this, it's about 15 essays of my best, dealing with Plato, dealing with all these topics. If you're new to that, you might like that book. It's a readable 200 pages or so. I think you get that at my website in the shop. And then I have a big fat 600 page book that's out, which is all the essays on philosophy and theology of the last 10 years collected into one big gigantic volume. It's called The Red Book. So Mao had a red book, Carl Jung had a red book, and now I have a red book, but I think mine is better than those weirdos' red book. But a couple more. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of the top 10. I did a video on my YouTube channel. You can go watch that if you want to for the full top 10. Looks like we're only going to get to be going through about five or six of these in the time I have left. But if you want the full video, it's at the top of my YouTube channel where I go through all 10 of these. Most important text probably of all of these that's the most revelatory is Klaus's book, Shaping the Fourth Industrial Revolution, right? And in that text, Klaus really lays out clear as day everything that we've talked about. I mean, he goes into amazing what the full-on plan is, not just for where we are right now in the initial phases of the Great Reset, but where they want to take the Great Reset into 2040, into 2050. And it lines up with all of the other writings of the elite that we've covered over the last several years, that covers basically a span of 100 years of elite writings, going all the way back to the turn of the century, the British Imperial Writers, Royal Institute for International Affairs, Chatham House, Pratt House, all of those writers and what they talked about, perfect continuity of agenda all the way up to Clausewitz's Fourth Industrial Revolution, which actually came out in 2018, a little bit prior to the events of CUFID, the CUFID outbreak, and how instrumental that was to their plan. And as you know, we've covered this book many times here in the Fourth Hour on InfoWars. What I really found surprising, what I didn't expect, was the sort of quasi-religious language that Klaus uses in the first half of the book, where he talks about a new covenant, a new narrative, which led to actually Klaus's newest book. I think it's the newest book, the Great Narrative, which I did just get in the mail the other day. So I'm actually amassing like a shelf of Klaus works. I'm going to be like like people are these nerds that go into Lord of the Rings and they're obsessed with, you know, Mr. Frodo, Sam. I'm going to be a Klaus nerd. I'm going to have like all of it mapped out like a giant map, like Tolkien's map of Lord of the Rings. I'm going to have Klaus's world order mapped out like Tolkien drew, you know, Mordor and everything. And it really is Mordor, right? I mean, Klaus really wants to bring in Mordor. There's an amazing parallel there, because look, the last section of the book is called Reforming the Physical World. We will be in sideshow. It's amazing that they come out, they put the stuff out in the videos, and it all gets fact-checked and said that it's not true, even though the videos have them saying it. This is out of context, fact check, not true. I mean, he has Prince Charles on to talk about all of the things that we talk about, and people say it's not true when they publicly say it. I mean, the level of doublethink is just, it never ceases to amaze me, the level of doublethink. But in this last section of the book, as we know, Klaus goes on to talk about geoengineering, nanotech, robots will do the policing in the future, AI, predictive algorithmic crime prevention, Minority Report. It will be a sci-fi future where, this is his sci-fi future, where AI will track and trace your carbon.
Oh, it's going to be so great for the planet, man. Yeah, we won't be like, but we won't be messing up mammy Earth, man. It's good.
No, this is to put an end to you. Don't you see? How dumb are you? This is an austerity agenda to destroy civilization. People get, I mean, I was watching Tucker the other day and it was great. He was going into like, why are they doing the things that will destroy Western civilization? Because it's a plan. It's a plan to destroy the existing order and out of the phoenix, out of the ashes, to erect the new synthetic order. Nanotech, synthetic organisms will take over. That's a whole chapter on nanotech, synthetic organisms in Klaus's book. How do you not understand this? This isn't even a long book. It's like, what, 250 pages? 230 pages, actually. And then the last few pages get into just all of the professors and degenerate university corporate people involved in the plan. So it's basically just pages and pages of him listing all the people who were in on it, right? So acknowledgments of all the people involved in our world order. So these are all the tech and professor dupes who have bought into this, thinking that like they're going to get a seat at the table, right? That's the, you know, if you go back to one of the other books we didn't get to, which we've covered many times, you guys all know about it, Anglo-American Establishment by Dr. Kel Quigley, which is a great addendum to Tragedy and Hope. In Anglo-American Establishment, he lists the people behind the conspiracy 100 years ago, and he talks about it as a secret society. His terminology. And he says the inner core were the real conspirators, but they had an outer party, his terms, outer party of helpers. Who are the helpers? The 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 or plus university professor dupes who think that they're part of planning the future and they're going to get a seat at the table. They're going to be part of the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to have a seat of power. I'm going to have a power seat. I'm part of this because I'm going along with it. No. It's to kill you too. Okay. Unless you are a 0.001% zillionaire bloodline family, you don't have part in this. Period. And you don't get a part in it because you go along with it. This is something Alex harps on all the time, and he's totally correct about this. And it's amazing too, because it's a delusion. It's this weird delusion. And notice how people on the left and people, you know, the crazed people out there, the half the population that has gone nuts, we can all see those of us on our side who are kind of awake, fully awake, half awake. We can see these people's delusion. And the delusion is no different than the professors at all these universities and all these tech corporations that are in the delusion as well, who think that they're going to get some kind of access to immortality technology. Number one, there is no immortality technology. That's a lie. It's a scam. The world runs on large scale scams. And the people who are in on it know it's a scam. But they know that people will believe, because they're confidence men, as Herman Melville wrote about, they know that people will believe this nonsense. Right? So he ends this book literally talking about like a Johnny Mnemonic, Vanilla Sky, Lawnmower Man world, VR metaverse, where you will be able to flee your daily world troubles, live in your coom pod, and just die. Just freaking die in your coom pod, please. That's what he says. So the end of the book is about the Matrix and you in the coom pod, and you just sort of quietly, they'll go push the buttons to euthanize you in the coom pod. Thank you. You signed on. You will get an extra year of UBI credits. And then after that, you for your extra UBI credit year, we'll push the euthanasia code and you go to sleep. Just drift off, right? Soylent Green. Soylent Green is made from people. If you've watched that, then you know this is the reality that they plan. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
It was a little more than 10 years ago that I was approached by a frequent guest on my show, Dr. Edward Group. And he said to me, Alex, we have developed a natural compound or herbal formula that has incredible effects for men's stamina, libido, and energy. And I was like 38 at the time, libido off the chart, felt like I was Superman. I'm like, yeah, right. He said, listen, you really ought to try this. And I'd tried some other stuff over the years. Not that I needed it, but I thought, well, supercharge, and it hadn't done much. Or maybe it made me have blurred vision or get a headache. But when I took what became Supermel Vitality, it completely blew me away. And then I asked Dr. Group, why did this formula do this? And he said, it's cold-pressed, high-quality organic herbs. When they're cold-pressed, we don't boil it. We don't heat it up. It's not powder. It's only the juice out of the herbs. So it takes 3, 4, 5 times the amount of herbs to make a Supermel Vitality because it's a living essence or like a fine wine. It's been sold out for a long time. We got a big shipment in. It is now available at InfoWarsStore.com for 25% off. If you get it with X2, because the two go together like a horse and carriage, it's also great for your stamina, libido, energy. It's the missing link, really. If you get X2 with Supermel Vitality, they are 40% off. But a lot of folks are going to be excited to hear this. Supermel Vitality is finally back in stock. And again, it's not hype, because when I started taking it within 24 hours, I was like, whoa, this is a big deal. What is going on? And it's just the power of cold pressed herbs. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to experience Supermel Vitality for yourself. Back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.